Hey, everybody, it's Teebs, and I live for this.
Trying to hang on and get a break. It's going to be a break. It is Joe Sakic scores. Gio Sakic scores. And that makes it 5-2 Canada. Surely that's got to be it.
The Hockey Show. Thursdays at 5:30, only on 101.5 UMFM, because we all live for this.
Hey, want to join the team? Hockey Helps the Homeless comes to Winnipeg on December 5th and 6th. Join the Babich brothers, Lori Boschman, Trevor Kidd, and many more stars as they hit the ice at Seven Oaks Arena to raise funds and support for Winnipeg's most vulnerable residents. Become a tournament sponsor, support players or teams, or volunteer your time. Go to hhth.com for complete details. Hockey Helps the Homeless is proudly presented by Canada Life and is a registered Canadian charity. Hey, everybody, it's Teebs from The Hockey Show, and we're here with famed radio consultant Ron Swanson, who's been hired by UMFM to improve employee and volunteer morale around the station. What have you implemented so far, Ron?
The Human Resources Department requires that I be available once a month to discuss workplace disputes with my employees. The rules do not specify whether or not I'm allowed to listen to Willie Nelson on my headphones.
You're listening to 101.5 UMFM.
Watch the years go by, right in return to sender, 'cause all I want is one more time. I think of last September.
Welcome to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only caps-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Got lots of people in here today.
It's a packed house again.
Lots
full house again. A few weeks in a row we've done full houses, eh? It's not bad. How are you doing, Beans?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Had
feeling good?
1 week break.
Yeah, had a little break, a little time off.
Save the voice for this special occasion.
Yeah, we'll get a chance to talk to all these great people as we bring them on. Let's get them on right away as we fade out. Winnipeg's own Ariel Posen here. Fantastic. It's a little song by him as he gets ready for a tour date coming up in the next few weeks here. I'll have more about that coming up towards Pledge Week. We'll talk about that. Pledge Week is going on from the 18th to the 26th, folks. If you're looking to get in, make sure you get your pledges in now for pre-pledging. If you want to wait till the week of, make sure you do that as well, because we can certainly use every dime that you can spare us. Even if you just got a little bit of pocket change, we'll take that. That'll be good. That'd be fantastic. Other than that, let's jump into this. It is the Canada West Hockey Preview Show. We're going to start off with the men's hockey. We'll jump into the women's hockey at the break, after the break, at about 6 o'clock. So we'll start with men's hockey. I'm going to bring everybody in, though. We'll go around the table. Let's go from left to right. My left to my right. Starting with, who is sitting to my immediate left?
It's Kylie Palmer.
Yeah, there we go. How are you, Kylie?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. We know the next guy. He's fairly familiar on the show.
Hey, everybody.
It's Beans. Hi,
it's
Beans.
Me.
How are you?
Yeah,
right on. One of the gentlemen that we were excited to bring in today, because he's one of the guys that does all of the men's hockey for us here at UMFM and certainly on Canada West TV. Evan, how are you?
I'm very good, yeah. Evan Midford, I do color analyst. I color analyze, I guess, on men's broadcasts.
You talk about hockey.
Well, yeah, exactly. I talk about hockey.
We talk about a little hockey here, too.
I thought I was something to do with coloring books.
Yeah, it's all right.
Like that.
It's
sure.
Blue. I'm pretty sure it's blue.
It's what it feels like when we're in the booth.
I'm analyzing color. Scribbling.
This team is this color.
And beside Evan is his partner in crime, Jason. How are you, Jason?
I'm good.
You might recognize that voice.
Back here again.
Jason Pajak, who was a regular somewhat on the show anyway. But let's dive in. We got a lot of got to go over today as men's hockey started last weekend. Women's hockey starts this weekend. So we're trying to get this in now because this would be an important sort of piece for us to jump into. We'll see who's right, who's wrong, who predicts correct, who is way off in their predictions. But I'm sure it'll be fun regardless. So let's start with men's hockey and let's start with the big boys up front there. Alberta looks like the top dog again. Let's talk about them a little bit here because the Bears went out and they did a lot of recruiting this summer. The Bears brought in Chad Butcher, Matt Fontaine, Ryan Jevny, Josh Patterson, Noah Philp, Luke Smith, and Nolan Vulcan, if I can spit that name out, holy smokes. Braden Chisen, Dawson Davidson, Jared Friedrich, Dalton Hamaliak, I guess that is, and Joel Lacusta. It looks like they have pretty much a brand new team, but still are pretty good as they went 2-0 over the weekend. 4-3 overtime win, a 5-0 win over UBC. Grayson Paulinchuk had a big pair of goals in that overtime game with the game tying and the game winning goals. They rallied from a 3-1 deficit in that. So let's start with the gentleman to my right. Jason, Evan, what are you guys seeing? What do you like from Alberta? Is there anything you worry about Alberta?
I mean, what is there not to say about Alberta? They're icing basically a WHL All-Star team out there right now, basically top to bottom. This is an incredibly experienced team. Even the rookies are coming in with just tons and tons of high caliber experience. They lost Sachenko, they lost Craig, and they lost Philp all in 1 year. That's a huge, all the way down the lineup, that's a huge hit for them.
Sure, yeah.
They're top goaltender, top goal scorer, they're kind of their top defenseman, so that's a big hit, but I still think they're icing the best team in Canada West. I know it's not a stretch to say that, but like this team is just top to bottom great. The one issue, if you could call it an issue, is the goaltending right now. Is you're losing Zach Sochenko, but you have a very strong Brian Burke there.
Burke was a goalie record in the overtime win. Matt Berlin pitched the shutout. It's the first time since 2013 a goalie has started his first game for the Bears and pitched shutout.
Yeah. So you've got two good goalies there. They're not Zach Sochenko, who's now at the San Jose Barracudas. But it's still a great losing Outhouse like they did after his great run with the Moose. He's turning pro now, so that's a hit for them. But I think it's water off a duck's back at this point. They've got Cole Sanford, who was their second leading scorer last year. They've got Noah Philp, you know, the younger brother of of the prior Philp, the youngest of the three Philp brothers. So yeah. they might be starting some sort of family trend there. This team is just, I picked them to win Canada West and head off to the national championship. I'm not sure about Evan.
Evan, your thoughts on Alberta?
Yeah, absolutely. From what I saw last year, they were just dominating. They dominated teams all throughout last year and all the way into the playoffs as well. I mean, they're just stacked from top to bottom. I mean, I'm pretty sure Luke Philp went and signed a PTO with the Calgary Flames.
He did. He signed the contract. He's now playing with the Stockton Heat,
which is insanity to go from Canada West straight to the AHL or NHL, which is very impressive. He was the leading scorer in the entire league last year, and it's impressive for a team to lose the leading scorer in the entire league and still be the best team and still have skate the best lineup. So yeah, no, I don't think anything's going
to
change.
Also forgot to mention Jason Fram signed in the KHL.
Yeah,
so he's going off somewhere too. So that's another big hit for them. It's just, they lose these players, these fantastic players, and then just bring in a whole bunch of new ones.
A revolving door of great players.
Brennan, anything?
Well, I mean, every year it's Alberta, right?
That's
pretty much the name you hear in men's hockey, who's going to be the top dog. So I don't see it changing this year anyways.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm almost certain. But Kyle, anything to add? No? Good.
No, I'll let you spearhead the men.
All right. Well, we got the big dog.
I don't know much about either. So I'm just gonna.
We got the big dog.
Two cents.
We got the Bears out of the way. Dub Bears out of the way. In terms of moving them out of the way, but there's going to be a bunch of teams that may contend with them. Mm-hmm. And I say that maybe a little bit facetiously because there might only be one or two teams that contend with them. But the two contenders that look like they might actually have a shot. We'll start with the team that ended up going to Nationals with them last year in the Saskatchewan Huskies. Forward Justin Ball and Jared Dimitru were the two pickups they had up front. Defenseman Corey Spagrud from Battleford, not a big name, but they actually lost both their games to Mount Royal this weekend, losing 5-4 and 7-2 to the Mount Royal Cougars. Kozun, after going 25-3 1 year ago, is now 0-2. He's literally one loss away from where he was last year. I don't know if Saskatchewan's got scoring to. I don't know if they're going to have if they even have the lineup to be able to compete with Alberta.
I think that says more about the team that Mount Royal has this year than it does Saskatchewan, because Saskatchewan, for me, they're in win now mode. They've got a bunch of experienced players. You know, they're going to be losing guys in the next couple of years. They've still got Stadnik, Baumel, McVeigh, Folk, Shirley, Cable. They're all still there. They've got a more experienced Ballhorn and Fiala. Like, they're still there. It's just that they need to bring it together. Losing the Forsbergs was a huge hit for them.
Yeah.
Because those guys are just fantastic players, just all around fantastic players. But they've still got that great system there in Saskatchewan. They've still got tons of great players. I'm thinking what we saw last weekend from Cozen is a bit of a blip, because he is a good goaltender. It's just that they need to bring this team together a little bit more and, you know, lean on guys like Rop to bring this team forward.
Evan, I'll let you take a swing at the next team that's a contender here. The Calgary Dinos look like they are ready to roll. Certainly have rebuilt and brought in some impressive players to help them out. Caden Elder, who comes from the Calgary Hitmen, the Swift Current Broncos. Jordan Xavier, who was a transfer in from the NCAA University of Anchorage and Alaska. And Lane Zablocki, who's a Detroit Red Wings pick, all added to the lineup. On the back end, Dallas Hines from the Kootenay Ice and the Vancouver Giants, and Savin Kahira, who's the brother of Jujhar Kahira in the NHL, he comes in. And then goaltender Matt Greenfield went to the Tampa Bay Lightning development camp in this offseason. So Calgary, who looked quite impressive when wins over Regina with 8-1 and 5-1 scores, might be one of the other contenders.
Yeah, absolutely. And they weren't a bad team last year either. And so they have some returning players who can really make a difference. No, I like Calgary a lot. I think, yeah, the Bisons began their season last year against the Dinos. And, the Dinos kind of, well, maybe that's more of an indictment on the Bisons' season last year, but they didn't fare very well. But, I know that the Dinos are going to be a good team as well.
Matt Alfaro currently leading Canada West and scored 4 goals in the opening weekend.
Yeah,
so
I mean, it was against Regina.
Sure, yeah. I mean, let's not kid ourselves here. The other team that might contend this year, as we were just mentioning, Mount Royal, looks like they're going to be pretty good. Adding a player that we're fairly familiar with, or at least the brother of a player we're fairly familiar with. Andrew Fighton goes to the team, brother of former Bison, Caitlin Fighton. Sean Richards from Seattle. Nolan Yaremko, excuse me, from Tri-City. Keegan Iverson from the Ontario Reign in the AHL joins Mount Royal. Defenseman Connor Blake comes in from the Grand Prairie Storm. Riley Morris, their goaltender, 2-0 as he posted the wins over Saskatchewan. Gentlemen, what do you think of Mount Royal's chances?
Every single year I come in and say that from the men and women's side that Mount Royal is going to make noise, because I always expect them to make noise. I'm like, knock on wood, I think this is the year. They've still got Jamal Watson, Jesse Lees, Hunter Zandi, and Chris Gary. They're all still there. I'm expecting a home playoff series out of Mount Royal this year, a third or fourth place finish, just depending on how things shake up with UBC and Calgary in that mix there. But this is a good team. It's a good team. It's a more experienced team. And if they're able to kind of pull it together this year, I think it's really great. Riley Morris is the one kind of question mark that I do have. Is he ready to take that step and be a starting goaltender in Canada West to shoulder that load a little bit more? Because he's got an experienced goaltender behind him in Wyatt Hoffman, and then there's the rookie in the mix. But is he ready to carry this team as far as it needs to go? Is he ready to face off against the Albertas of the world, you know, heading into you know, the next few weekends here?
Just to give you an idea, Riley Lindgren did have 3 goals in that 7-2 victory over Saskatchewan, so certainly on the board as well there. That leaves us with the maybe contender team, the only one team that seems like they might contend, depending on if they can pull it all together, and that would be UBC. The Thunderbirds brought in a pile, and I mean a pile of players. Quinn Benjafield comes in from Kamloops, Jake Kriske from Kamloops, Brett Clayton from Tri-Cities, James Orban from Alberni Valley in the BCHL, and Dryden Michaud from BCHL's Surrey team, defenseman Ryan Pouliot from Red Deer, Jonathan Smart from Kelowna, amongst other teams, Jarrett Tiska from Seattle. He won't be available until the second semester, unfortunately, due to the fact that he had to transfer in, but he's also a Montreal fifth-round pick, so pretty good defender there. Ryland Toth went 0-1-1 this weekend against Alberta. If you're looking for the measuring stick, the 4-3 overtime loss was a good one, but the 5-0 loss to Alberta, I don't know if
Great.
I don't know if that's really measuring anything at that point.
Yeah, I think that comes from the youth of the team. Evan, we saw quite a bit of UBC last year and played some really good series. The one good thing that I think for them is that they have Carter Popoff back.
Yes.
He's still there. He's still able to be the force that he was last year. But like the Bisons last year and this year, it's a young team. It's a bunch of first and second year players, a few third and fourth year players there. But I think last weekend against Alberta really showed the youth of this team, because they hang in the first game and then they just get blown out of the water in the second game. I'm not sure, Evan, if you feel the same.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's not exactly the start you're looking for, but they have, Carter Popoff, their leading scorer, back. And from what I remember of UBC last year, was they were really capable of shutting down a game, especially in the third period. And maybe they can sort of focus on that defensive game and really play a sound defensive effort in front of their goaltender, and maybe they can win games 2-1, because I don't think they can roll with the Alberta Golden Bears if they're going to try to win games 5-4. I don't think that's going to work out for them.
I'm sure head coach Sven Butenschon won't complain too much about a defensive game if it plays like that, but we'll have to see if they can do that. That leaves us with the other three who finished at the bottom of the Canada West Men's Hockey Preseason Coaches Poll. We'll start in order. We'll go in order in this just because it's a little easier. Regina was voted in as the third from the bottom. They come in with Scott McCoskey from Portage, Lyndon McCorrister from Brandon, Turner Ripplinger from Estevan, Bryce Platt from Estevan, and Ty Barnstable from Portage. Goalie Curtis Meager from Kootenay joins them. Again, they did post 2 goals in 2 losses to Calgary while giving up 13 goals. Dawson McCauley and Curtis Meager neither really had a good opportunity there against a team that's loaded. Is Regina going to find some way to get out of the basement?
Simple answer, I don't think so. I mean, you go down that list and, you know, I'm not taking anything away from that recruiting class, but it's not as strong as you've seen from the other teams in the conference. Like, they're bringing in a lot of SJHL players. You've mentioned a few players from Estevan.
Two dubs, Brandon and Kootenay, and the rest are FJ and MJ, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not the... Taking nothing away from those players, I'm sure they're great players. Just the caliber of talent that the teams around them are pulling in, it's just night and day. I don't know if it was just that they didn't get there at the right time, because there's guys from Saskatchewan that are going to the different teams across the conference, and it's just that they're not going to Regina for some reason. It might be that they have their bigger brother in the Saskatchewan Huskies just down the road.
That could be.
But, you know, I don't know what to make of this team. It can be one of those teams that surprises you, and they come out and, you know, they had some good games last year and they can really just grind out games, but they don't have the firepower that I think they need.
Let's go to the two teams that you guys saw then last weekend. As Lethbridge and Manitoba met here, they split their games, 1-1 for both teams. There's a 2-0 win for Manitoba on the Saturday and a 5-4 loss to Lethbridge. We'll start with Lethbridge. They brought in almost a brand new team. Luke Coleman, Michael from the Calgary Hitmen, Michael Clark from Humboldt, Owen Gunter from Humboldt, Kyle Gordon from Okotoks, Mackenzie Mindus from Neepawa. He played in Grand Rapids in the Maritime Hockey League as well. Jared Janke from Campbellton in the same Maritime Hockey League. George King from Dauphin, and Josh Bornick from Olds and he played in the Alberta Hockey League. I guess it was. He played with Melville as well. Defenseman Daniel Gattenby, who played with Kelowna, and Josh Patrician from Humboldt. Goalies Jack Bugart. He transferred in. Burgert transferred in from NCAA's Bemidji State, which, I mean, I'm surprised he left Bemidji State. That's usually a pretty good program. And Nick Amonrud? I don't even know how to pronounce his last name. I'm not that good. Anyway, former Calgary Hitman. He played with Rosetown in the Allen Cup last season. Taz Berman played net both games here in Manitoba, so we didn't even see the new kids. What do you think of Lethbridge, gentlemen?
Taz Berman is so good, right?
He was very good last weekend.
He has, Evan, you mentioned this a few times, like his rebound control is so good. Like, every shot, he seems to just get in position where he can take it right off the crest and take away any opportunity. Luckily for the Bisons, the goals that they scored in the first game off of rebounds, they were able to eke out that especially the first one for Jeremy Leipzig, and then the Mitchell Dick goal was just a seeing eye shot that I'm not going to blame Berman for. Like, it was just a goal scorer's shot and went through a crowd. Like, he was so good last weekend. And another guy that you mentioned that coming in is Gatenby. I thought he had a fantastic weekend and a very promising player for them. What else did you see?
Yeah, I like their depth as well. I mean, their first line was obviously very good with Torin White and the Maxwells. And then you have Dalton Swart on the second line there, their captain, the mustache. Yeah. Sort of holding down that second line.
Such he was a nice mustache. It's so good.
He was very good as well. And then that third line of Clark, Gunter, and Gross, I believe, was on the third line as well. They all had like 2 points in that second game as well, the 5-4 win against Manitoba. So they've got some good depth there. I like their top line. They do lose Valentino, who was like their leading scorer last year, 27 points in 28 games. So they lose him, but they don't miss a beat. I feel like they have enough good players to fill those roles, and I really like, Lethbridge.
Yeah.
And that leaves us with the home team, as Manitoba decided to stock up a little bit this year, adding forward Bradley Goethals, Josh Tripp, Chase Brakel, is that right? Tony Apatagan.
Apatagan. That's what we got. That's what we heard.
Apatagan.
I was going to say, there's like three pronunciations I heard through YouTube. So, and Brian Harris, defenseman Matt Stanley, who came from Swift Current, Bradley Poto, who came from Regina, goalie Riley Lamb, who came in from Swift Current, also Red Deer. I, listening to the broadcast you guys did, I thought that it sounds like Manitoba's got a pretty balanced lineup from what we saw.
Yeah, they're able to roll lines a little bit more this year. There's a lot more trust for Mike Surrant and his third and fourth lines to get the job done in some high-pressure situations. And there's a lot of youth on those third and fourth lines that were, I can't remember, I think it was the second or third line, the third or fourth line that had, it was just all rookies. I think it was the Dylan Thiessen unit that they had just rookies, and they did a fantastic job. And he was throwing like Matt Stanley out there on the power play and on the penalty kill. And Mike has a lot of trust in these young players, and a lot of them showed that they deserve that trust.
Yeah, and last year I felt like Surrant sort of like depended on his big guys a little bit too much. He might have overplayed his top guys a little bit too much. I know that Adam Henry sort of like led the league in minus, if you keep track of plus minus. I don't know, it's not a very popular stat to put a lot of faith in, but he definitely ran his guys a lot last year. And now this year, five seniors leaving last year, he has to put a little bit more trust, put a little bit more faith into the bottom of his lineup. And it worked out really well, I feel like, in the first opening weekend. I really liked the Thiessen unit. I really liked the fourth line as well, with Ryan Carlson playing on the wing there.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was very effective. I thought that the entire bottom six was effective, and they were given opportunities to succeed. I know that Thiessen was killing penalties as a rookie, which I thought was a lot of faith, especially at the end of the first game in a shutout. And he was out there in one of the most critical moments. So a lot to like from the new forward depth, and then as well on the new defensive side, the new defense depth as well. I liked. I know Puto got some power play time a lot. He sort of struggled a little bit in the opening weekend, but there's a lot to his game I feel like he can build on. And then Stanley played with Mitchell Dick on the second pair. I thought he had a very consistent game. So I liked what I've seen from the rookies, but again, that was a very small sample size. It was only one game, and we don't know where Lethbridge is going to shake out in the season. So a good start, but again, last year during the home opener weekend, the Bisons also split it. But
I was going to say the rock that we normally would talk about for Manitoba was Byron Spriggs. He's no longer there. How would the two goalies look between Riley Lamb and Tyler Brown?
Riley Lamb, obviously, he looked really great.
Yeah.
I was expecting more out of Tyler Brown than I think we got. He looked kind of shaky. I don't know if you saw something similar.
Maybe a few nerves in his first game and on the second end of a back-to-back, but he definitely was a little bit more aggressive in his goaltending style, which can work, but unfortunately he did give up 5 goals. But the last one was on a breakaway, so I can't really fault him for that.
And that's something that we're used to from Byron Spriggs, the aggressive goaltending style. It was just like the issue was he seemed to get out of position and lose track of where the net was behind him. So he would go out to make a save, and he'd slide too far out of his crease, and then he'd be, like a half foot off of where he needed to be, so he'd have to push even harder to get back into position for a follow-up shot or to get right back into the play. So It was.
I mean, some of that could be rust. Though. I mean, yeah. He was off for a year, mandated redshirt just because he had an injury, mm-hmm. and then missed most of the preseason as well. So, I mean, we could be talking about a little bit of rust to knock off him and get back into the game.
The team in front of him didn't play very well.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Something that Mike was talking about after game one is that they need to play a full 60 minutes, and they didn't do that last year, where we felt like they would come out of the gates really great first period, they'd score an early goal, or they'd be up or tied heading into the second period, and they'd just come out flat for the next 40 minutes. And that's something that Mike was railing about at the end of last year and at the start of this year, and the second game was just, I don't even know what to make of it. It was individual players played well, but there were just mistakes all over the ice that didn't need to happen.
But to be fair, I don't think that their second game of the season this year was as bad as sort of the Jekyll and Hyde act that was last year.
Yeah.
I mean, last year they would have one good period and then just be the
completely
worst
fall
team
apart
in Canada West the next two periods. So mm-hmm. I think that this year's second game wasn't as bad as that, but they did show inconsistency. But that might be a result of their young lineup.
All right, gentlemen, Kylie and Brennan, you can jump in here as well if you want. The coaches' preseason poll went as follows. Alberta ranked 1, Saskatchewan 2, Calgary 3, UBC 4, Mount Royal 5, Regina 6, Lethbridge, by virtue of their greater number of higher place votes, got 7th, and then Manitoba 8th. How are you ranking these teams this year?
I mean, my top 4 is a little bit different from that. I have Alberta, obviously, in first. It's the Alberta Golden Bears. How can you argue with the championship-caliber team that they have? They got to the national championship final last year. They're turning out NHL and AHL players like it's nobody's business. So you can't really put anybody but Alberta there. But I do think that Saskatchewan is right on their heels in second place. I think they're going to be challenged. They're going to be challenged for that first place. They're not going to be as dominant as they were last year, which is with an older lineup and a more experienced lineup. But they are still going to be the cream of the crop. I think Saskatchewan in second is not a bad vote either. I think they could earn themselves another trip back to the national championship. Then I actually have UBC, then Mount Royal as my third and fourth. I have Calgary in fifth. They still get the playoff spot, but I'm thinking there's going to be a fight for the home playoff series between those three teams, but I think Mount Royal has more promise, that I'm expecting a home series out of them, and then that final spot is just going to be a fight between the last three teams. Regina has gotten better, not a whole lot better. Manitoba's gotten better, not a whole lot better, and same thing with Lethbridge. Like the three teams they're improving and they're getting more set, but they're still against each other for that final playoff spot.
So who claims it?
I want to put faith in that Manitoba can do it this
year. All right. I like that. Meaning that, unfortunately, Regina and Lethbridge miss on that side. Evan, you want to jump in with your prediction?
Yeah, well, obviously the top two is the same for me. Golden Bears and the Huskies are 1-2. They were 1-2 last year. But then I think I like the Dinos a little bit more this year. And from what I've seen, maybe I'm not as high on UBC. So I'm going to put them in fifth, and that leaves, help me out here.
Mount Royal,
thank you, yes. To go into fourth there.
All right, okay. And who makes your sixth and final playoff spot?
The Bison.
All right, there we go. So Lethbridge and Regina missing there. Kylie, Brennan, you want to add in? You want to jump in? If you don't, I'm going to, it's okay if you don't.
See, I only go off what these two gentlemen have said.
I know,
so
they're the
so I know a lot now already than I did before. I mean, obviously Alberta won. Just looking at U Sports rankings, I think Calgary's in the top 10 right now in rankings. So I mean, they're definitely high on Calgary being also starting 2-0. I mean, obviously Saskatchewan with an 0-2 start isn't looking as good as Saskatchewan of old. So you know, I would think I'm going to just say my top four because I think that's all that matters. So we go Alberta, Calgary, Mount Royal, Saskatchewan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Mount Royal had a good start to, mm-hmm. obviously, beating Saskatchewan 2 games. So, I mean, they look hungry early on, so they're looking good.
Kylie, you want to jump in?
Only leave it to you guys. I think there's a lot of good
ironically, I agree with Beans. I think that Saskatchewan is going to take a bump this year. And the only reason I say that is because I don't know if they have as much depth as Calgary and Mount Royal do. Taking a look at their lineup, they have a great lineup still. There's no doubt about that. But Calgary and Mount Royal really stocked up on scoring. And that was something they didn't have a lot of, I thought, last year in terms of playing those bigger teams, the Alberta, Saskatchewan. So I'm going Alberta, Calgary, Mount Royal, Saskatchewan, UBC, unfortunately, Lethbridge, Manitoba, Regina. Unfortunately.
No playoff games for Manitoba, apparently.
But I could be wrong. And let's hope I am.
You have to pay your way in.
I've been tossed from the booth at this point. If you are looking for stuff to do, though, if you're in the States this weekend, Manitoba will be in Grand Forks this weekend as they play the UND Fighting Hawks at Ralph Engelstad. That'll happen 7 p.m. Saturday night. And then on Monday, they play the Omaha Mavericks in an exhibition game, as they do have the conference bye this week, so they don't have to worry about playing, but they will play Omaha down in Omaha, Nebraska as well. So if you're down in the States and you want to see the Bisons play, you're more than welcome to go in any of those games. Check local ticket booths to see how you can get in there. The men are back in action on the 11th and 12th against the Mountain Royal Cougars in Calgary. They will return home against the Calgary Dinos on the 18th and 19th. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster or through the Bisons or wherever you get them normally. Or if you're really interested, listen to 101.5 UMFM. We'll have Evan and Jason on call on that, or catch them on Canada West TV, which is now presented by Co-op.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, Co-op, for diving in there.
Thanks, Co-op.
Yeah, that's awesome. With that, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to run down the women's side in about 46 seconds after the legal ID. So we'll be back in about three quarters of a minute here on 101.5 UMFM. It is the Hockey Show on Thursdays.
Come on, come on. What are you waiting for? Daddy needs his medicine. I'm sick, baby. I'm sick. Come on, baby. Daddy needs his feel-good juice. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's the stuff. That's what Daddy needs. Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, what it is we're all community. And when you're a community and when love enters into it,
just give me Iggy Rock!
UMFM 101.5, broadcasting at 1200 watts from the University of Manitoba, giving Winnipeg and the surrounding community the good stuff since 1998.
And we are back here on the Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM. Here with the Canada West Hockey Preview. If you just missed the men's preview, you were tuned in a little bit late. You can listen to that on the podcast. It'll come out at about 7:15-ish on UMFM.com. You can hear that in terms of how we think the men's side will break down. Let's break into the women's side, though. We'll start off with the team that everybody wants to beat, the team that everybody tries to beat, the team that nobody seems to beat every year in Alberta. As they are looking to be the top team yet again this year. They have added Madison Willen from the St. Albert Slash, Isabelle Lajoie from St. Albert, Peyton Lombach from Lloydminster, and Stephanie Fisher from Lloydminster, defenders Taylor Anker from St. Albert Slash, Brooklyn Taves from the Edge School, Tiana Yaremko from St. Albert Slash. I wonder if is she related to the Mount Royal Yaremko? Do you know? No? Anybody know? No? Okay. Anyway, they ended up first in Canada West last year. They won the Canada West title. They were fourth at Nationals after they beat Toronto but lost to McGill and Montreal in the bronze medal game. Big news from out of them, though, is they will have their top line back as the top three scorers in the league. Posnikov, McDougal, and Kennedy Ganzer return for another season. Let's start into this. Thoughts on that, Kylie?
Well, with Alberta, Howie Draper is never going to field a bad team. You just know they're always going to be.
No, that's true.
Steady, consistent. He has great systems, and they've got such talented players coming back, especially with Alex Posnikov. I think it's right that they're number one in the coaches' picks this year.
Anybody else want to jump in?
Like, how can you argue with Alberta at this point? Like, we all know that they're probably going to have another trip to the national championship. So it's just what's the road to get them there? Like, what's going to happen in the playoffs? What's going to happen when the games start to matter? So, yeah, there's not much to be said.
No, I don't think there's anything to worry about if you're Alberta at this point, other than just play consistently. But we'll see how that goes. From there, let's jump into some of these other teams then, because there's been a bunch of movement and a bunch of stuff happening. I'm going to run this down as per the coaches' poll here, so we'll follow that order. UBC is next. They added forward Mackenzie Kordick from St. Albert / Shawnreet Bassey from the Pursuit of Excellence. Amy Brucker from the Delta Hockey Academy. Defender Sydney Neustadter from the Pursuit of Excellence. And Manitoban and all-around awesome young lady Kenesha Misswagon from the Balmoral Hall Blazers. Goalie Reese Hiddleston will also join them on Delta Academy. They have eight players in their fourth or fifth year, including all of Michaela Ogrodnichuk, Hannah Clayton Carroll, and Matea Fisher, all in their fifth year. The only thing that I see that might be a problem is the total games played by their two backup goalies is zero. Mm-hmm. Total minutes played, zero. Tori Miklisch is the only goalie they have that has experience.
And that is not something that you want if you want to be a competitive team. And we saw Alberta last year run all three of their goaltenders
in a rotation.
In a rotation that worked for them and got them all. Well, yeah. It got them ready for the playoffs and national championship when they were able to decide which goaltender was playing. But you need to have trust in your backup. And that's something we saw the Bisons had a problem with last year, is that Lauren Tereshchuk played basically every game, and that left her just run roughshod when playoffs came. So, and you know, after the hand injury that Miklisch had last year, you can't ride her and play her that much and expect her to be ready once it comes down to it.
Well, at some point you're going to need, and again, I'm not saying that Danielle Waringa or Reese Hiddleston can't step up and do that, but at some point you're going to need somebody to step up and grab that backup spot. I don't know who Graham Thomas is going to put faith in right now, but having no backup is a huge, huge problem if Miklisch gets hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, not much to add there. Knock on wood, Miklisch doesn't get hurt for the Thunderbirds, but, I mean, she had the hand injury last year. Maybe that's not fully healed. You never know. So it's a little nerve-wracking for them to think that they don't really have a backup goaltender in place.
To give you an idea of how well traveled I guess Graham Thomas is, they have 12 players not from BC playing for them this year, including six Manitobans, one Norwegian, two from Saskatchewan, and three from Alberta.
That's a very diverse group of people.
That is. So Graham Thomas, head coach Graham Thomas, doing a little scouting and recruiting from across the country. We'll move to Saskatchewan, who comes in with an interesting group of players because they didn't really recruit anybody big that I saw. Forwards Miranda Height, who came from Holy Cross High School, Kate Ball, who came from Aiden Bowman Collegiate, and Julia Morelli, who came from Viscount Central School. So all of them are high school kids. The only one that really came in with any sort of prep school sort of setup was defender Holly Angus. She comes from the HTI Stars out in Toronto. The odd part, they have 12 players this year going into their fourth or fifth year, including Jessica Vance, Emily Upgang, Bailey Barasa, who are all in their fourth year, and Shailen Elias and Leah Bolkin, all in their fifth year. This could be legitimately an all-or-nothing year for Saskatchewan, but they are only carrying two goalies as per the roster.
Yeah, strong veteran group there, but kind of crazy to think they only have two goalies. Vance, of course, will be the starter, but another situation there. If Vance gets hurt, what kind of position will they be in?
Yeah, I mean, Cameron Drever looked like she was a good goalie last year in preseason. We saw her play once, but I don't know if she's ready to carry the entire team on her shoulders at that point, because she'll have to play every game after that.
Yeah, and then what are they going to do for in a backup situation? You're going to throw a defender out there? Like, is Upgang going to like throw the pads on and go out there?
You have to throw somebody in.
I like the team that they have up front, but obviously, yeah, that defensive or that goaltending tandem it's a good goaltending tandem, but the fact that it's not deep is what worries me.
I have to agree with that. I'm not sure why you don't. Why? And again, Steve Cooks is a great coach. I'm not sure why he wouldn't have another goaltender, but maybe he caught it.
And
it was a late transfer.
A team that relies on defense and goaltending as much as Saskatchewan does, those goaltenders are going to get worn down.
Mm-hmm. And it's weird because, I mean, like Chloe Marshall, who was there last year, we'll talk about her in a little bit. She transferred to another school. Maybe it was a late transfer. I'm not sure if that's the case, but She doesn't seem to be redshirting, so I don't know if it's a late transfer. So we'll talk about that in a second, though. From there, Mount Royal looks like they're going to be interesting. Mackenzie Lupul from the Calgary Fire, Athena Hawk from the Rocky Mountain Raiders, Emma Bergeson from the Norway World Cup or World Championship team, who also played at the Ontario Hockey Academy, joins the team. Holly Tecklenburg from the Calgary Fire, and then goalies Caitlin Ross and Cassie Shoker. Cassie Shoker, interesting. She's a transfer from Oswego State. She was 2-6-1 with a .293 goals against average and a .918 save percentage there. They have seven players in their fourth or fifth year. Top scorer, Tatum Amy is only in her third year, while Nicolette Sieper is in her fourth. Tiana Coe is in her fourth year, and Anna Pershke in their fourth year. Reigning Canada West Rookie of the Year and leading scorer, Brian Trotter, will be back, obviously, in terms of getting that going. Is this the year they put it together?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to come in and I'm going to say it. Yes. Finally. They're slowly fixing the issues that we've had with them for years. They've got somebody that can score goals now,
yes,
in Trotter.
Yeah.
And then you've got some solid goaltending there. You've still got some pretty good...
Zoe DeBoville's going to start most of the games.
Yeah. So. She's still going to carry that team as far as she can. But this is a much better Mount Royal team than we've seen in past years. And I think the recruits that they brought in just elevate that.
It's funny that Mount Royal can actually go out and find these players that Howie can't bring in. So,
yeah, I'm really excited for Mount Royal. They're kind of that... They've been that underdog. They had that disadvantage starting in Canada West, what was it, 5 years ago? 6 years ago?
6 years ago now.
But they're
yeah.
like kind of the new team on the block.
Sure,
so.
Yeah. At least for this year.
And they've just been slowly creeping up and improving every year. And mm-hmm. I think this year they might be one of the teams to beat.
Played their first playoff game a few years ago here in Manitoba against the Bisons. Won their first playoff game last year against Saskatchewan. So maybe there is a chance for them to. I mean, they took Saskatchewan to the limit as well. They went to overtime in game three there. So maybe there's a chance. We never know.
Building the right way.
Let's go Mount Royal. From there, Manitoba is up next. Holy smokes, we got tons of players here. Samantha Sitchkarek from the Regina Rebels, Kate Gregoire from the St. Mary's Flames, Hallie Edwards from the Central Plains Capitals, Molly Kunis from the Thunder Bay Queens, Polina Goncharova from the HTI Stars in Ontario, Sarah Dennehy from the St. Mary's Flames, Jamie Rickless from the Thunder Bay Queens. That's just the forwards. Defenders, Camille Enns. I'm going to pronounce that wrong.
Get that right.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't want to get a phone call. Camille Enns from East End.
Cameron, very angry phone call.
Cameron Gillis from the Winnipeg Avros. And then goaltenders, Caitlin Nault, who comes from Garden City, Fighting Gophers boys team, not the girls team, boys team. And Amanda Schubert returns to the Bisons for her fifth and final year. They are definitely the youngest team in the conference. They only have two fifth-year players in Schubert and Jordy Zacharias. They were second in Canada West, fifth at Nationals last year after losing to Guelph, but defeated PEI in Toronto. I feel this may be a different season this year altogether.
Yeah, I have to agree there. They graduated 9 players,
yep.
10 new players coming in. There's some huge shoes to fill on the blue line with Erica Reeder and Sparky Anderson leaving. They were just like the two pillars of the D end for the Bison. So hopefully some of the younger new players can step up. Workington and Buchan, I think, will be heavily relied upon back there. But yeah, I think it should be interesting for the Bisons this year.
Yeah, the defense is the one area where I'm a little bit more worried. Maybe that's my defensive bias growing up as a defenseman, but they've got they've got talented players there. You know, you've got Buchanan, Workington, Nadusak. Like, those are solid defenders. It's just that where's the rest of it going to come from?
Mm-hmm. I've watched this team now in 3 or 4 games. I will tell you right now, this is probably the most athletic defensive core I've seen from them. Janae looks like Janae's skating this year looks exactly like Erica. Like, there is force, there is power, there is meaningful strides, there is don't get in my way strides, and there is I'll just truck you over if you get in my way strides.
And that's what you need when you're losing somebody like Erica,
right?
Is that you need somebody to fill those skates. And then goaltending, that's, you know, it's great to have Shuby back because we all missed her, and getting to hang out with her at Nationals was great. But then, like, I talked with Erin Fargy last week, and she's excited to have Shuby back, and she's very high on Caitlin Nault, and it sounds like she's ready for whatever tandem trio that they've got going.
See, to me, and I mean, again, we can discuss this until like probably the cows come home, but I worry about the scoring up front because we graduated a ton of scoring. Lauren Keane, Carissa Kirkup, I mean, in terms of the two off that top line, are gone.
Alana
we obviously
Sharman.
Lost Alana Sharman, who was another monster player for us. But you look at all sort of the secondary players that we lost as well. There is a ton of scoring that simply is gone now that are going to be replaced by, obviously, rookies. It's not to say they can't do it. It's just... there's a difference between a fourth and fifth year player than there is from a rookie player. And I worry about that part. Is that can Manitoba score enough to remain in that top four home playoff grouping?
Yeah. And Jordy can't do it all by herself.
Well, yeah.
So we need somebody to step up in this group. Like, is it Katie Chichirbox? Is she going to turn around from what she was last year and go in a more offensive direction? Or is somebody going to, some of the new rookies going to come in and step up and provide that secondary scoring or primary scoring in this case? So it's going to be a bit of a nail-biting season, I think.
A little bit, I think, yeah. Let's jump to the next team, who is the Regina Cougars. They added four Rhea Gilroy from the Notre Dame Hounds, Heather Fiske from the Melville Prairie Fire, Jaden Krishnerik from the Prince Albert Northern Bear, and Paige Hubbard from Westman. Defender Rachel O'Toole from Westman, Hannah Pennell from the Pursuit of Excellence, Kayla Powell from the Pennon Valley Hawks, and goaltender Alex Rajsigal from Plymouth State, where she went 2-8-2 with a .378 goals against average and an .872 save percentage in 15 games over two seasons. They are the second youngest team in the conference with just three seniors this year. Yikes. They have... I don't know. They have 12 players not from Saskatchewan. They have 9 Manitobans, 2 Czechs, 2 Ontarians, and 1 Albertan. So, again, another wide-ranging group of players. So not a lot of chemistry from players that may have played with each other on provincial teams, stuff like that. I don't know if they're going to score enough goals either. They don't. Magwood looks like the only player who's going to score goals this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say I'm a big JC Magwood fan. She's a very talented offensive threat, but she can't do it by herself.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see how the rest of the team shapes up.
Yeah, it's just that is the main question here. Is like, where is the scoring? It seems like that's coming down in like the entire conference. Like, who's going to score goals for this team? The only team we're sure about really is Alberta and maybe a bit of Mount Royal. It's like, where are these goals going to come from?
And I mean, you look at the roster as well. Four goaltenders. They have Kish Baker, Rajsigal, and Katie Crowther on the roster already. Mm-hmm. Again, what are you doing bringing in all these goaltenders when you could be filling it with goal scoring if you could find another player on your roster? I don't know. To me, it doesn't make a lot of sense for... I mean, I guess Sarah Hodges has her reasons why. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kish and Baker have played there, what, 4 years, 5 years now in terms of the combined years they played there? Haven't really pushed this team to a new limit. So maybe it's a matter of finding somebody who can really drive the goaltending and maybe catch a little fire there.
Yep.
Because I don't think they're... their goaltending got any better.
And that's the thing. Like, if you have, you know, we saw it with Saskatchewan a couple of years ago when they made it to the national championship. Like, goaltending can take you very far.
Oh, yeah.
But those two, I like Jane Kish, but she's not going to carry this team as far as they need her to. She needs help. She needs somebody to step up and provide that offense. Because when you're going up against some more offensively powered teams that can break through that defense and get shots on goal, like, if there's nothing pushing back against that, if there's nobody taking advantage of the opportunities you're going to get off of that, then the team's not going to go anywhere.
From there, we jump to basically the last two teams in Alberta. Lethbridge, forwards Myla Verbicki from Delta Hockey Academy, Evan DeBay from Shawinigan Lake School, Madison Porter from Sherwood Park Midget Hockey, Sage Sansverget from the Red Deer Sutter Fund team, Ali Aitken from the Battlefield Sharks, and Talon Stevenson from the Okanagan Valley. They also added Victoria Rankin, a transfer in from Oswego State, where she played 69 games over 3 years, scoring 3 goals and 4 assists on 42 shots. I'm not certain that's a stat they want to be talking about very often. 42 shots in 69 games, that's not very many. They added defender Brooklyn Palmer from the Lloydminster Steelers and added goaltenders Stephanie Gross from the Rocky Mountain Raiders and the aforementioned Chloe Marshall of the University of Saskatchewan Huskies, who went 4-2-0 in 2017-2018 with a .152 goals against average and a .931 save percentage behind a very good Saskatchewan team. They also have a new head coach in Doug Paisley. Now, for those that don't know who Doug Paisley is, he's currently the president of the WHL's Hurricanes, a position he's held for the last 5 years, and coaches the Lethbridge AAA Midget Hurricanes. He was the associate coach for 3 seasons of the female Lethbridge Barracudas, and 2 years as the head coach of the major Bantam AAA female Lethbridge Little Caesars team. In 2005-2006, Paisley was also an assistant coach of the Pronghorns women's program under former head coach Doug McLeod. So, you got a guy who's pretty familiar with the program, you got a pile of new players, they still have Anderson, they still have Van Varenberg. Do we see anything different from Lethbridge this year?
I mean, I think it's kind of a fresh start for them with... We know they had some challenging things going on last
That's
year.
That's the nicest
the
way to say it.
So they've got the new head coach in there. I think that's going to be a big help. Alicia Anderson is still there. She's one of the best goalies in Canada West, I would say.
Yep.
She's going into her 5th year. So, I don't know. I'm kind of optimistic for them. I think they might be able to... be ahead of Regina at least. that doesn't sound good.
Wow. But I mean, okay.
I'm saying they're not necessarily going to be basement dwellers this year, as we knew they were going to be last year. So hopefully they can go in a more positive direction.
I mean, you can be as optimistic as you want, but this still to me screams the Lethbridge Andersons. Like that's all this team is, really, is you know, the recruits are great. Having a new head coach that provides the stability that they needed the last couple of years is great, but there's still nothing on that roster that screams off the page that says this is a difference maker, aside from Alicia Anderson.
I don't disagree. I think they're going to have big seasons out of a few players. But I don't know if, it comes back to the same question we just had for Regina. Can they score enough goals? Mm-hmm. And I don't think they can. I mean, we watch them, and again, I hate to say this, we watch this with Michelle Janis when they used to play that stupid clog up the middle zone defense that never worked for them because they couldn't translate that into any offensive breakouts. And I mean, the Bisons, I mean, granted, they went to Nationals 2 years in a row, but they were pouring on 50, 60 shots in a game. Unless Paisley has changed that entire program's systems, I don't see Lethbridge doing anything.
Exactly. When they did that, the puck just died in the neutral zone.
Yeah.
And then the team would just pick it up again and take it in. Like, it was just banging your head against a wall. And with two new teams coming in next year, you got to be like, where are we going to be at when they show up? Or, like,
I think they'll be better than the two new teams. I just don't think it's a far leap from where the two new teams will be. So
that can't be your metric.
No, yeah. No.
And it's more competition for recruiting in Alberta.
Exactly.
For sure.
Well, I mean, all over the place. Cause, I mean, UBC or BC is right there as well. And I mean, that's where Lethbridge has got a couple players from BC. Not a lot, but that's fine for them. But it's going to be tough. I'm sorry. That's a tough, tough area to recruit in now. But we'll move on to Calgary because Calgary is Calgary and there's not a lot to say there. Nearly all their key players have returned, though. They didn't have very many graduates. They added Rebecca Clark from the Greater Vancouver Comets, Madeline Stanley from the Edmonton Pandas. I don't know how she got out of Edmonton, but good for her. Defenders Trishelle Bunn from the Boston Shamrocks. She's also a Manitoba product. Emily Hill came in, transferred in from the ACAC, which she was playing with Olds College Broncos, excuse me. And Kate Wagner of the Swift Current Wildcats. They added goaltenders Gabriella Durante from the Calgary Fire and Dana Owen of the University of Alberta Pandas. She will redshirt for at least the first semester, though. She didn't play in the second half. That's what I was looking up.
I'm just a bit dumbfounded by how large they've made their roster. Like, I just don't see the strategy behind that.
How are they going to fit all these players in with minutes?
So you just made the comment on how large the roster is. If you haven't looked at Calgary's roster, and I'm not certain a lot of people here in Winnipeg have, but if you haven't, they have 11 defenders and 4 goaltenders on their roster.
They have 2 defensive lineups.
They legitimately have 15 players that don't play ahead of, or, well, they do play, but 15 players that are supposed to protect their own zone on a roster of 24. That's insanity.
I'm just, when you messaged me when we found out that Owen had transferred, I just stared at my phone, like dumbfounded for about 20 minutes. I was like, what is happening?
So here's the other catch, and I'm glad you brought that up, because Owen, who is going into her 5th year, if she doesn't play this season, good for her, she can redshirt all year. However, Kelsey Roberts, who is their bona fide number one by far, is in her fourth year. Kira Wasilik is in her third year. And now Gabriella Durante, who is coming into her first year, will have to redshirt. They had Danielle Bono-Schmidt from the Winnipeg Avros last year. She's left the program. They are just burning through goalies like there is no tomorrow.
And there's a reason for that.
Well, I mean, when you're facing 3,000 shots a season, I wouldn't doubt that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, though, why add more?
Yeah, and I feel like they have so much to rely on with Kelsey Roberts. She stands on her head every single game, basically.
You're looking at us for answers, and we have none. Yeah. Like, we don't know.
It's going to be an interesting season for Calgary. I don't know if they've done enough to change their fortunes by any means. But as per the coaches poll, again, we'll go over this quickly. Alberta was in first, UBC second, Saskatchewan third, Mount Royal fourth, Manitoba fifth, Regina sixth, Lethbridge seventh, and Calgary in eighth. Anybody want to jump in with a prediction? Kylie, you've got the look of I want to say something.
I mean, it's relatively close to the coaches' picks, but I'm going to put Mount Royal ahead of Saskatchewan. I think they might take that third-place spot this year. I'm hoping for good things out of Mount Royal. And then, I mean, I would like to see Bisons finish better than fifth, but, you know, they've lost so many key players. It's hard to say right now. I think I agree with pretty much the rest of it.
Yeah, obviously, you have to put Alberta in first. Like, there's no question. There's no question about it. This coming into this year.
I mean, I don't want to, but
I mean, I don't want to give Howie Draper too much credit, but you know, they're probably going to finish first. I actually have Mount Royal second.
Wow.
I think that this is a very good team, and they're going to surprise some people. And this is, you know, with U Sport programs, unless you're UNB or Alberta, you have good year. You start off, you bring in players, they grow together, then you have a few good years, then you have a few great years. I think this is the first for them in that cycle where they're moving into that good to great area. You know, we've seen this build over the years. The rest of the field is kind of parting for them to come through, so I think Mount Royal could finish with a bye through the first round, and then UBC, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Regina kind of following the poll.
I don't know how UBC keeps, like, you guys taking payments from Graham Thomas? Because I have Alberta, Saskatchewan, Mount Royal as finishing top three. And Saskatchewan only because, again, I think they have more veteran talent there where experience matters, as we've seen over and over and over again in both Canada West and at the Nationals. But Alberta, Saskatchewan, Mount Royal, UBC, Manitoba, Lethbridge, Regina, Calgary.
Wow.
So I've shaken this up a little bit, but not a lot. But I don't think UBC, competes, especially if they have an injury in net.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm most worried, because you can't play Tory Miklosh 28 games a season.
Yeah. Third is like, yeah, Miklosh can stay healthy.
Yeah, Miklosh starts 20, they have a chance at third. But I don't see them, I don't know if that's possible.
Yeah, a lot of it is dependent on Miklosh staying healthy.
Right.
I don't know. Graham Thomas just seems to pull out.
He's got a rabbit in his hat.
He's going to pull it out. Happened somewhere.
Yeah.
I know. We've got about 3 minutes left in the show, so let's get the schedule in here. They do play this weekend if you're looking to get out to women's hockey. Manitoba is in Lethbridge this weekend on Friday and Saturday. They will play Lethbridge at 8 p.m. Central Time on Friday, so a little bit later because of the Mountain Time Zone. 2 p.m. on Saturday. They return home for our first action. Kylie and I will be on the call on Saturday, October 12th at 7:30 p.m. for the home opener. It's also World Girls Hockey Night that night.
Woo!
So make sure you're bringing out the girls too. If you got a young girls out that are playing hockey, they want to play hockey, maybe want to play Bison's hockey one day, bring them out to the game on Saturday night, October 12th at 7:30. 3 p.m. start on Sunday. Why we're starting at 3 p.m., I don't know. There's no rule for that. But then there's a long break between when we see the women next. Calgary the following week. UBC the following week, which will be the 25th and 26th of October. There's a conference bye on November 1st, and we don't see the team play here in Winnipeg again until November 8th. So literally, if you want to come see the Bisons, your only time to see them in the next 4 weeks is literally next weekend.
That's right.
Sounds
They've
right.
got a challenging first half. A lot of away games.
Very. Yeah.
At least at the start.
It'll be tough going into UBC for sure. It'll be tough maybe going into Calgary. We'll have to see about that.
I blame the Winnipeg Ice.
Yeah. Well, you can blame whoever you want. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's not going to be pretty going through that November schedule either. They got Regina, Saskatchewan at home, and then into Alberta after that. So that's going to be a tough sort of few weeks for the Manitoba women's team anyway. But with that, we are basically out of time, folks. This has been an outstanding preview show. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for lending your expertise and giving us the information. Evan, Jason, you guys have a phenomenal season calling the men's games this year.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for coming in. And then, Kylie, we'll see you in a couple of weeks, and we'll get our thing going here and have some fun with that.
That's right. I can't wait.
All right. We are out of here again. Folks, Beans, anything you want to say before we get out of here? You've been taking this all in.
Yeah, it's a lot of information to take in, but I think I'm smarter for it now. But the NHL season in Winnipeg has officially started.
Yeah? Are we down 1-0 yet?
0-0.
Oh, okay. All right.
Jacob Trouba has not scored the 1-0 goal yet.
Yeah, I was waiting for that to happen.
I saw a video of Rangers guy tripped in the preview, and so the Rangers season is already
over.
Oh,
that's all right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm okay with that. Yeah. With that, we're out of here for another week, folks. Stay tuned and for Free Range Radio coming up right away. Skippy's getting himself all set up here. We will be back next week on Thursday again at this time, 5:30 p.m. here on 101.5 UMFM. It is the Hockey Show. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. See you next week. Everything will fade, melted to the days, and I can't help it. Everything just seems to fade.